Good morning, McDermott Road. This is my favorite week of the year. I probably tell you that every year, but this is my favorite week. I guarantee you, when my family and I sit down for Thanksgiving this week, one of the things for which we will be giving thanks is you, all of you. My family is so thankful for you. We love you and we appreciate you. Thank you for being the church family that you are. This month, we've been talking about gratitude and praise. We've talked about how gratitude, expressing gratitude, articulating why God is awesome, that God is awesome. We've talked about how that strengthens our faith. It strengthens our faith. But it also is an act of faith. It is an act of faith to praise God. And I think sometimes we misunderstand what faith is. In fact, sometimes we talk about faith as if it's blind. People will even use that phrase, blind faith. But faith, real faith, biblical faith, is not blind. In fact, faith has terrific vision. Faith actually sees things before they become visible. Faith sees the truth before it becomes visible. In fact, here's one way we could put it. Faith is living with confidence. It's living with confidence that something is true before it is obvious. Faith is living with confidence. It's not just something we think in our head. Faith is living with confidence that something is true before it's obvious. So all month we're talking about our God is an awesome God. Amen? Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with power and wisdom and love. Our God is an awesome God. And it strengthens our faith to say those kinds of things. But it also is an act of faith to say those kinds of things. To live with confidence that that's true. To live with confidence that our God is an awesome God and that he reigns, he is king, and he reigns from heaven above with power and wisdom and love. It takes faith to express that and to live with that kind of confidence. That idea that God is reigning. That our God, our good God, our awesome God is king. This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 96. And Psalm 96 is one of the enthronement psalms, which means that it's a declaration that Yahweh, that the God of Israel, is the God of the whole world. That he is king over all the earth. That he reigns as king. Now I just want you to think about how sort of audacious this psalm would have seemed at the time. That here's this little bitty nation. In fact, this psalm, Psalm 96, is part of the song that David sang when the Ark of the Covenant was taken into the tabernacle. And I just want you to think about how it would have seemed then or later after the Israelites, after the Jewish people came back from captivity and came back to the land of Israel and rebuilt the temple, when they sang psalms like this, how ridiculous it might have seemed to the rest of the world. I mean, it would be one thing for the Persians to say, our God is the one true God of gods and King of kings. Our God reigns over everything. It would be one thing for an empire like Persia or like Egypt or like the Babylonians to say that their God is the God of everything and that all people should worship their God. But for this tiny little nation like Israel, like the Jewish people who have spent most of their time as slaves and being exiled and being kicked around by everybody in the world, for them to say, our God reigns. Our God is the real, the true, the only real God. And that he is the king of the universe. And everyone should respect him. And everyone should praise him. And everyone should worship him. That would seem audacious. How could these people claim that is true? Faith. Faith is living with confidence that something is true before it is obvious. And I want us to think about that as we read the psalm this morning. So if you have your Bible, Psalm 96, starting in verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord. Sing to Yahweh. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the, what church? The nations. His marvelous works among all the, what? Peoples. That word nations, the Hebrew word there is goyim. And the goyim are what we would call the Gentiles. All the unbelieving nations of the world, all the unbelieving peoples, all the peoples out there, everybody who's not an Israelite, everybody who's not Jewish, all of those people sing to the Lord, declare his glory among the goyim, among the Gentiles, among the nations, declare his marvelous works among all the peoples. Now, there's a couple of layers of this that we need to understand. Do you know who most of us are? We are the goyim. We are the nations. We are the Gentiles. We are the peoples of the world. And the only reason that we now sing to the Lord a new song, the only reason that we sing to the Lord all the earth, the only reason we bless his name and tell of his salvation from day to day is because someone else did this for us. Someone else proclaimed, declared his glory among us. Someone told us the Lord reigns. Someone told us God is an awesome God. Someone declared his marvelous works amongst us. And because they told us, now we believe. Now we sing this song. Now we declare his salvation from day to day. We believe now because someone told us. But now also, the other layer is that now we are no longer the goyim. Now we are no longer the nations. Now we are part of the new Israel. We've been adopted into this family. So now we sing the song. We bless his name. We tell of his salvation from day to day. And we declare his glory among the nations. We declare his marvelous works among all the peoples. This psalm is incredibly evangelistic. It calls upon Israel, which includes you now. You are part of the new Israel to declare God's glory among the nations, among the peoples, for you to do for others what someone did for you. Do you believe God is awesome? Do you believe that his salvation is great? Do you love him? Do you belong to him? Have you committed your life to him? The only reason that any of those things are true for you is that someone declared his glory to you. Maybe it was your mom. Maybe it was your dad. Maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was a coworker. Maybe it was someone in a church building a lot like this a long time ago. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was all of those people. Maybe it was a lot of people who declared God's glory to you. And because they did, you believe. Now it is our privilege and honor to do for someone else what someone else did for you. If God is good, if God is great, if God is awesome, open your mouth and tell people. It is our responsibility, but also our privilege to declare his glory amongst the nations, to declare his marvelous works among all the people. Verse 4, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are what kind of idols? Worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. See, the nations need someone to tell them that their gods are worthless idols. Your neighbors need someone to tell them that their gods are worthless idols. You need, I need someone to tell me that when I give my loyalty and allegiance to other gods, that those gods are worthless idols. The only reason that we know that God is great, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised and he is to be feared above all gods, is that someone had the audacity and the faith to tell us those other gods are nothing but worthless idols. We don't talk a lot about idolatry today, but there are just as many idols today as there were then. They're just sneakier now than they were then, right? They're just as much gods. You know, we said on Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago that sometimes we talk about an idol as something that you put above God. I disagree with that definition. I don't think an idol can be limited to just things you put above God. See, God is not interested in being your favorite God. He is only interested in being your only God. God is like a spouse, and idolatry is like adultery. And we don't define adultery as putting another woman above your wife. We define it as having another woman in your life besides your wife. The same is true with idolatry. Idols aren't just things you put above God. They're anything God-like that you try to have in your life along with God. And we need to hear this truth, that those other gods are worthless idols. They overpromise. And they not only underdeliver, they enslave you. They will enslave you. But God is a God who gives you life and who gives you freedom, the God who created all things and the God that wants you to devote yourself to him. Look at verse 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. See, it's calling on the whole earth, all the peoples of the world, not just the Israelites, not just the Jewish people, not just the believers, but everyone to say Yahweh is the real creator. And he is due glory. Ascribe to him the glory that's due his name. Again, this is incredibly evangelistic. This week is Thanksgiving, and there are going to be people all over the country, all over the world, that are thinking about how grateful and thankful they are. And some of them don't know to whom they should be grateful. They have a feeling of gratitude, a feeling of thankfulness. They want to thank someone, but they don't know who to thank. There's a TV show that I like to watch that's kind of a survivalist type show, and sometimes they'll kill a squirrel or they'll kill a rabbit, and they'll thank the rabbit for giving its life for them, or the squirrel. They don't know who to thank for the thing for which they're thankful. And there are a whole lot of people around us who want to be grateful. They want to be thankful. But they don't really know who to thank, where that gratitude should be directed. And this is exactly what the psalm is saying. You know who to be thankful for? You like sunsets. You like sunrises. You think those are beautiful? Are you a fan of puppy dogs? Do you like cute little kitty cats? How do you feel about love? Are you a fan of love? All of those things, sunsets and sunrises and the starry night and the mountains and the oceans and the puppy dogs and the kitty cats and precious little babies and the love you feel in your heart, all of that. You know who invented all that? My dad. I don't mean to brag, but that was my dad. That was my father. He's good at all that stuff. And he loves you. So ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. I know you want to be grateful. You want to be thankful, but it's not enough to just have a feeling in your heart of gratitude, just to thank sunsets for existing, to thank the stars for existing, because someone made them. He invented them. He created them. They're his. Don't thank the creation. Thank the creator. Give him the glory that is due his name. And that's one of the ways that we can approach our friends and our neighbors and our family. Because they're thankful for the same things you're thankful for. They love a good meal. They love the way it tastes on their tongue. Remind them. Remind them who is the one to be thanked for all of those good things. Verse 10, say among the nations, among all the people, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Those three words right there, the Lord reigns. That church is the gospel. That's the gospel. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Yahweh oversees the world. Now again, that would have seemed audacious thousands of years ago. But it was true then, and it's true now. In fact, it's true in a whole new way now, because not only does Yahweh continue to reign as king, now Yahweh reigns through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus reigns with the Father, that the second person of the Godhead became a human being. So now not only does Yahweh reign, not only does God reign, does the Lord reign, but actually now human beings reign with him. We reign with him because Jesus, one of us, our big brother, the second Adam, the Son of Man, now has become king with the Father. And so now, just as God always intended for it to be from the very beginning, now humanity co-rules and reigns with God. And so when we say now, thousands of years later, the Lord reigns. Now this continues to be true. It's always been true, but it's true now in a whole new and beautiful way. God reigns through Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. The reign of God and Christ, the reign of the Father and the Son, is not yet obvious. It's true. It's true. We believe it, don't we? We've been singing it all morning. We believe it. We took the bread and the cup, declaring that we believe it's true, that the Lord reigns, that Jesus reigns, that God reigns. But it's not obvious yet. You can deny it if you want to. A lot of people in the world don't understand it, don't believe it, reject it, deny it. So it takes faith to say among the nations, the Lord reigns. This is evangelism. This is what it is to be evangelistic, to spread the good news. That's what that word means. To spread the good news is to say among the nations, whether it's obvious yet or not, the Lord reigns. God is king. And God is king in and through Jesus. The Lord reigns. And we say that truth. We speak that truth. We live that truth amongst the nations. Look at verse 11. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. I want to read that one more time. I just want you to picture all this in your head when we're singing it. Can you picture this? What the psalmist is saying? This is what we're anticipating and waiting for, is the whole world, all creation, to do these things. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and all the peoples in his faithfulness. This afternoon, go read Romans chapter 8, because this is exactly what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8. He's saying right now, the heavens and the earth and the sea and the field and the trees, they're not so much rejoicing right now. He says they're groaning. They're groaning because they're in pain. The world is experiencing the same pain you're experiencing. The same pain of decay and hurt and pain. And the whole creation is groaning and waiting for the reign of God to be revealed. God is reigning. God is reigning in and through Jesus, and the whole earth, the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the day that God's reign is revealed to everyone and everything. And on that day, the heavens will be glad, the earth will rejoice, the sea will roar, the field will exult and everything in it, and all the trees of the forest will sing for joy, because the Lord is coming to judge the earth. And he judge it, as verse 10 says, with equity. With equity. That's a good word, isn't it? Fairness. Evenness. See, sometimes we dread the reign of God. We dread the coming of God. We dread the judgment of God. But for those who are living by faith, it's not something to dread. It means the groaning is over. And the rejoicing will begin and will last forever. And by faith, we declare it now. By faith, we articulate it now. By faith, we say, the Lord reigns. And the Lord is coming in judgment. He comes, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Which means, simply put, God's going to make everything okay. He's going to set everything right. Why? Because he is faithful, he is righteous, he is just. He will judge the peoples with equity. We know that it doesn't always happen right now. Justice and equity, fairness and evenness don't always happen right now. But the people who think they're in charge of the world are not actually in charge of the world. The Lord is in charge of the world. The Lord reigns. He reigns through Jesus the Christ. And that isn't obvious right now. It takes faith to speak it. And it takes faith to live it. But everyone needs to hear it. And that was true even when David lived on the earth. And it's true today. In fact, it's true in a much richer way, because we have seen the cross. See, someday everyone will know the Lord reigns. But as we said in the beginning, faith is living with confidence that the Lord reigns before it is obvious. This is what it is to be a Christian. This is what Christian faith is. Christian faith is living with confidence that the Lord reigns before it's obvious. See, his reign means, as we've been talking about all year, your salvation, your forgiveness, your adoption, your transformation to be more and more like him. Having faith means that we submit now. before it's obvious. Because see, someday when it's obvious, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue. But having faith means living with confidence of that truth and that reality that the Lord reigns right now. And it's that truth in which we put our confidence, to which we give our loyalty and allegiance to Him, and He gives us salvation. But it's also announcing this truth to the world, just as it was announced to you. If you are a person this morning and you have faith in Christ, that is, you believe that the Lord reigns, you only believe that because someone told you that was true. And so now we have the privilege of telling others just like someone told us. But I want to, before we close, I want to get a little bit more personal with this. How do your life and words reflect confidence that the Lord reigns? How could someone look at our life or listen to our words and say that person has confidence that the Lord reigns, that God reigns through the person of Jesus Christ? Could they look at how you spend your money and say that person would only spend money like that if they believed that Jesus is King? That person would only prioritize those things and deprioritize those things if they truly believed the Lord reigns. How about this one? How much could they look at the things that you worry about or the things you refuse to worry about and say, that person must believe that the Lord reigns? I got called out on that this week by my 17-year-old son. He told me I was being uptight, and I was looking for things to worry about. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Would I really worry about those things if I was living with confidence that the Lord reigns? How about this? How about, could they look at the way you treat the people who have wronged you and say, that person would only treat the people who wronged them that way if they had confidence that the Lord reigns? What if they could see what you look at on your computer or what you look at on your phone when no one else is around? Could they see your browsing history? And if they saw your browsing history, would they say, that person is a person who truly has confidence that the Lord reigns? What if they listen to the advice you give to your friends? Would they say, someone only gives that kind of advice if they have confidence that the Lord reigns? See, every single day, every day, not just on Sundays, but every day there's an invitation. And every single one of us respond to the invitation every day. The invitation to believe, to trust, to have confidence that the Lord reigns, to give your loyalty and your allegiance to Him. Every day there's an invitation to take up your cross and follow King Jesus. And every single one of us respond to the invitation every day. Some days we say, no thanks. I'd rather follow myself. I'd rather be my own God. I'd rather be my own king. I'd rather follow my own leading, my own advice, my own will. But other days, we say, no, the Lord reigns, and I'm going to live with confidence that the Lord reigns, regardless of what it costs me, regardless of how it feels, regardless of what anyone else thinks. Before it's obvious, I'm going to live today by faith, live today with confidence that the Lord reigns. That's what we're doing when we're baptized, isn't it? We are pledging our loyalty and allegiance to King Jesus. To say, it's not obvious to everyone yet. Every knee has not yet bowed. Every tongue has not yet confessed. But my knee will bow and my tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I submit myself to that. And maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're ready to pledge your allegiance and your loyalty to King Jesus in baptism. Or maybe you need to recommit your life to Jesus. Or maybe, like all of creation, you're groaning this morning and you're longing for the day when Jesus comes, when God comes to make all things right. And you just need your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray with you and pray for you to renew that hope in you. Our shepherds would love to pray with you in the prayer room, or you can come forward now as together we stand, sing the song.